SpaceX joining the NASDAQ 100 before Tuesday's market open is the kind of event that market structure people get excited about for reasons that aren't immediately obvious to everyone. When a stock enters the NASDAQ 100, every fund that tracks that index has to buy the stock to maintain its allocation. Analysts estimate that triggers approximately $4.3 billion in forced institutional buying. The stock was trading around $162 going into this, well below the $225 post-IPO high it reached in mid-June. So the index inclusion creates a mechanical demand floor at exactly the moment the stock has pulled back significantly.
The deeper story here is what SpaceX's inclusion in the NASDAQ 100 says about how markets are categorizing the company. The NASDAQ 100 is the technology index, historically dominated by software and semiconductor companies. SpaceX's inclusion signals that aerospace is being recategorized as a technology sector play, not an industrial one. That has implications for how analysts value it, which peer companies it's benchmarked against, and which institutional investors are obligated or inclined to hold it.
The Texas Stock Exchange, opening in Dallas yesterday, is a story I've been tracking for about 2 years, and the fact that it's now actually trading is a milestone. This is the most well-funded new exchange launched in the U.S. in decades, backed by major financial institutions that have been frustrated with what they see as the regulatory and cost overhead of NYSE and NASDAQ. The July rollout is phased. Not all listings and products are live on day one, but the existence of a functioning competitor changes the conversation even before it captures significant market share. Competition in exchange infrastructure affects trading costs, listing requirements, and ultimately the economics of going public.
The Musk Twitter fraud verdict being upheld is relevant to the market's discussion too, not just the legal discussion. Institutional investors care deeply about disclosure timing requirements. The case turned on a relatively narrow question. When Musk crossed the 5% ownership threshold in Twitter, he had a legal obligation to disclose within 10 days, and he didn't, continuing to buy as the undisclosed deadline passed. Investors who sold during that period couldn't price the stock accurately because they didn't know Musk was accumulating. The verdict says those investors were harmed. Other major shareholders will be watching what damages ultimately get paid.
The De Vere Group CEO's warning about what he's calling the biggest tech stock rotation since the pandemic is worth examining alongside the NASDAQ 100 story. Nigel Green is pointing to $17.2 billion that fled U.S. stock funds in a single week as evidence that institutional money is moving away from mega-cap tech. Fundstrat's Tom Lee simultaneously raised his bull case for the S&P 500 to 8,800, while warning that an August to October pullback might feel like a bear market. These aren't contradictory views. They describe a scenario where the headline index goes higher, but the path is volatile and the composition shifts.
Let me add the Fed piece here. Governor Christopher Waller said Monday that inflation remains the top risk in his assessment, and this came as June jobs data showed softening that had market participants dialing back rate hike expectations. These two signals are in mild tension. Softer jobs data usually argues for more accommodative policy, but Waller is signaling the Fed isn't ready to shift its inflation-first stance. The S&P futures we're looking at this morning are down about 15 points. Sitting around 7,576. That's a modest negative reaction to a week that starts with a lot of unresolved macro questions.
Robinhood's CEO confirmed the company is earning revenue from the Trump Accounts Program, the administration's investment account initiative for younger Americans. The CEO's transparency about the revenue model is worth noting because it means Robinhood benefits financially from continued policy support for the program. That creates an alignment of interest between the company and the administration that consumer advocates will scrutinize, particularly given the company's history with payment for order flow and retail investor protection debates.
And briefly, Amazon is closing Mechanical Turk to new customers. MTurk has been the backbone of human data labeling for AI training for years, but the economics have shifted dramatically. Better automated labeling tools, combined with the reduced marginal value of additional human-labeled data at scale, have made the platform less central to the AI industry than it was in 2020 and 2021. It's the end of a specific era in the AI data pipeline.